Hello and welcome to the official podcast of Palate Exposure, featuring Ilona Thompson, a podcast for those seeking the ultimate in wine, food, and travel. Each week, she interviews winemakers, chefs, celebrities, and a variety of guests that shape the way we enjoy life.
So it was always my way. That was my father's way of kind of getting his foot in my rear end and going, get going, get going.
It is such a simple truth, but please, you guys, whoever's listening, and I'm saying this to myself first and foremost, please be mindful of the fact that this life is unique and make the most of it.
Absolutely. You know what? Use it up. Use it up. Don't hurt people. Don't hurt people. But short of that.
But live out loud.
Get nuts.
Well, you're a poster child for living, well, living to the fullest. So now I have to ask the curiosity question. What does David Arthur Long drink? What's in your cellar? I mean, how do you party? What do you, I have to know.
Okay, so it's all, if you're on a pub crawl with me, if we're doing a crawl, right?
Yeah.
And we're drinking, it's going to be a night of just, we're going to probably open with like, you know, some great tequila, some great, either great margarita, you know, having toned down the sugar on that. We probably are going to make it really simple. It's probably going to be some lime, some tequila.
So tequila is your spirit animal.
That seems to be.
Got it.
I try to leave it alone, but it keeps coming back.
It likes you.
There's too much crazy eating. It's wrapped around it. So we'll probably open with that because that's a good way to get.
Yes.
It's like a defibrillator, right? You're going to get a little zap. You get a tune-up right then and get going on your evenings. And then I'm going to drink, honestly, what wines are recommended to me that night. Someone say, oh, David, you should try this. I'm going to try that. It can be wines. It's not going to be wines just from Pritchard Hill or just from Napa Valley.
Got it.
It might be Sonoma. It could be something from Paso. It can be anywhere. But I'd love it to be interested. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm not going to toss out a ho-ho wine, certainly in front of someone. But if no one's looking and the wine is kind of ho-hum or way out of balance, and I think there's another, a better wine waiting that evening,
yeah,
I'm probably going to move that glass to the side.
Yeah.
And I now have got this breath alcohol device that where I used to get on the road and drive thinking I was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing now that you check your alcohol and you blow over it.
It's very interesting.
So now we Uber nonstop. And my company, David Arthur, has a rule here in our company that we will pay for your Uber anywhere, anytime.
How about that?
So none of our people have an excuse to get on the road. You can charge your Uber to us.
That's absolutely awesome. I'm sure it's a great place to work for many reasons, including this one. So as far as just your wine journey, not a fan of that word, but I can't think of a better one. It sounds reality TV-ish. Has there been some epiphanies along the way, both from your neighbors, Napa Valley in general, or worldwide, the bottles that made you sit up and go, this is a moment. This is so significant right now.
There has been some ones. But it's been crazier than you might imagine. It's been, drinking these Armagnacs or these Madeiras that have
held so underrated. So well, yes.
That have, you know, you're drinking like pre-Civil War.
It's crazy. Yes.
It's crazy, and they're out there.
Yeah.
And I can remember I was in a kitchen in Dallas, Texas, some years back. And someone said, just a second, I'm going to run home. They ran home, came back with all these bottles. And if your head doesn't spin around, when you drink a bottle of something that was, the grapes were picked for that pre-Civil War.
Yeah.
If you don't stop and think about this, and something that I stop and think about all the time is, we're taking, you know, a juice, right?
Recommended. Yes.
It's thought of as a food product, right? We're taking a food product. We age it, right? We age it for 15, 20 years, and then we open it up and we try it. I think about that. It's a food product. When would you ever go to your pantry, open a can of corn that's 20 years old? I dare you to try it.
Yeah.
So we're canning. We are canning a product.
Oh.
And you are trusting us that you can open 20 years later. And not only do you want it to be great, I'm hoping it doesn't kill you. I mean, it's really crazy when you break this stuff down like this.
It's a fresh perspective on aging.
Oh, my God.
We all love to wax poetic about it, but yeah. You're right.
I have to tell you that when I opened my fondue restaurant, in, I think, 74, 75, the 73 Mouton came out, and it's not known as a great vintage, but it was a vintage where they got rated as a second growth, and then they got that changed to a first growth.
That's
and
so right, I remember
I think
that.
In French it says second I was, mm-hmm. first I am, Mouton never changes, mm-hmm. this is all in French, right? And I guess, well, there's an irony in that to share with you that, as I told you, my background was art, and I dropped out of school.
Yeah.
But I would stay, I was at this house that I would rent with my other roommates who were still in college, because I could live there for, like, my rent was $33 a month. So it was great rent, right? So I was there, and none of us had any money, but it would be Friday night, and we'd watch a movie. You know, maybe we'd get some beer, we'd get a pizza, and we're watching this movie this particular night called A Picasso Summer. And the movie wasn't probably all that great. America, I've seen it recently, it's actually not that good. But that night, being a little bit loaded, it was a pretty good movie. And so we're watching this movie, A Picasso Summer, and I say to my roommates, the other four guys on the couch, I said, we need to call that bad boy. My roommate said, call who? And I said, we need to call Pablo Picasso. And they said, David, you are so high, you cannot call anybody. I said, watch. I go to the phone, and remember rotary dial phones, right, back in the day? Rotary dial phone on top of, we had a TV, a console, right, at the TV, sitting in a big console. And I go to the phone, and I get operator, and then I get overseas operator, I get information for Paris, France, and all this is going through, right? And my roommates are looking like I'm crazy. And when I get information from Paris, France, which I'd heard that's where Picasso was living, I asked that information. I said, yes, could I please be connected to Pablo Picasso's house? Mm-hmm. They say, one moment, please. Mm-hmm. The phone rings at Pablo Picasso's house. A woman answers, and she says, oui, monsieur. I didn't know what to say, so I said, yes, this is David calling for Pablo. What are you going to say, right? So she says, oh, Monsieur David, I must tell you that Pablo is so sick, he cannot come to the phone right now. I said, would you do me a favor? She says, yes, what is it? I said, would you please just go and tell Pablo that David called? And we say goodbye, hang up the phone. The next morning, outside this on the stoop of my house, morning paper, Pablo Picasso dies.
Oh, my God.
I may have been the last phone call to Pablo Picasso. To which, of course, you know, my friends, now they, of course, came up with this right away. They said, hey, David, if I'm sick, don't call me.
No words.
And it's one of those stories. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's kind of a crazy story. It doesn't go anywhere. But it's...
It actually, in my mind, it does. It goes to who you are.
Yeah.
You do things that... make sense to you, and then the rest of us realize that's true leadership when you do things that make sense to you, and the rest of us are sitting here ruminating over it, or, you know, having a negative conversation with ourselves. Just getting up off your butt and doing, that's a big deal.
It's that old story that we all have been told by your parents forever: nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't jump out there, you may get your head shot off, so what? So someone tells you, hey, you're not, no, I'm sorry, you're not talking to those people. You have to do it. You have to try it.
And now you have one of the most unique stories I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of stories. How about that?
My life has now just become a collection of stupid stories. That's stupid stories is what I have. That and my job here at the winery really now is just blending wine. That's really what I do here. Blend wine and then travel.
Well, speaking of blending, I would be remiss if I didn't taste at least one of your wines with you, because I'm dying to hear your commentary. I'm going to pause this, you guys. Just hold on. It's not over yet. I know you guys want to hear a lot more, so we're going to indulge you for a little bit more. And to be continued. Well, here comes my favorite sound. I'm actually having David Arthur, Cabernet Sauvignon, 2015, 3 acre. That sounds pretty small.
Small vineyard. Yeah, this is, I felt like right now, you know, people always ask me, which one of your wines do you like best?
Yeah.
And I used to think it was so simple, so silly, when a winemaker would say, oh, these are, you know, they're my children.
Yeah.
And then you get into this business, and actually you realize that you are silly, and it does sound like that, but it's the truth in that. And the reason I say, one day I will like one of my wines better, another day it's this wine. And they move around. And it's funny too, how even the people here will say the same thing, will say, oh, have you tasted the 3 acre recently? It's in a really nice place right now. And then it can jump to the boucher, the butcher, or it could jump to, I also make Nebbiolo because I'm a wannabe Italian. I'm not Italian, I'm a wannabe. That's what Sangiovese and Nebbiolo. Okay.
No, but I mean, when I first purchased, you know, Mary Taggio, I was convinced in my head, don't ask me why, that you have some Italian roots. Mm-hmm. It just automatically, you know, Mike goes, can I just say wow?
Thanks.
This is my first time trying this wine.
It's fun. It's a fun wine.
Okay, let's flesh out the fun part because I cannot stop smelling it.
So, my father has always said that one thing you notice about the wines of Pritchard Hill is that there is a common thread, and that thread he feels like is the vein of soil that comes through in these wines. And I used to, you know, I would hear this from my father too,
yeah,
over and over again, you know, in my life, my younger life. And I've come to realize that it's true, whether I'm, you know, if I'm drinking my wine or I'm drinking the Chapelet wines, and they feel the same way. There is a commonality. There is a thread.
If I were to start describing individual flavors, it would read like a scroll.
Thanks.
There's so much there.
Thanks.
There's a level of tension and concentration that is uncommon.
It's, thank you for saying that. It's, you know, it's in making these wines, I've learned that you can go way, way out there and, you know, get them so they're just super tannic and you know, and telling your customer that, oh, lay this wine down for 20 years. Well, that's all good and well, you know, if you're 25 years old, but as I'm up there in years, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. I don't plan on laying any wine down. So consequently, I'm drinking a lot of my wines young. But I always say, here, don't make a wine that is so tannic that, you know, it has a nuclear half-life of 50,000 years, right? I mean, and don't try and sell that then to your customer. And that's crazy. Beau Barrett, Montalena.
Mm-hmm.
We used to always joke about how people would press, when they were pressing out the reds after fermentation, they'd press them out because there's all this juice, all this wine held in those cakes, right? This pressed, these old skins. And he would always tell his people, don't press them out so hard that what's left inside the press becomes a fire hazard. You know, leave something there. It's okay. It's okay to throw it out while it's still wet. Don't try and, because it's going to be so tannic, no one's going to be able to approach it.
Nobody loves tannins. Oh, maybe some random somebody somewhere. Whoops, that was my inside voice. But, you know, just, seriously, nobody, you can't, yes, there's resolved tannins, you know, but nobody loves tasting tannins.
Give it some to age.
Yeah.
But don't go crazy. Don't go crazy.
Thank God for people like you. May I just say that? It's like drinking sanity, but it's also the level of power, just sheer power in this wine. You harnessed it and you framed it beautiful, but it's a force to be reckoned with.
It's, do you know that I haven't heard that term power for a long time? There was a gentleman from Austria that actually I became friends with. He came over, my road was a dirt road.
Yeah.
And Edward Erler is his name. Mm-hmm. He lives in Switzerland, and he would come every year for a visit, and he would say to his friends, he would say, and of course, I guess this would have been in German, and he would say, the power in these wines, the power. Are you seeing the power? And I said, what are you saying? He goes, David, your wines, there's so much power. But until you, I haven't heard that until you said that. And so I went right back to that memory.
So there's a physicality to this wine that, you know, you just have to step back, and it's like this formidable creature that you just kind of relate to in a different way.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. I am kind of sad now. That's the first time I'm trying this bottling, because it delivers more than I can actually articulate.
This wine, you know, it says in the bottle, Cabernet Sauvignon, there'll be a little Cab Franc in this, maybe a little Merlot. We'll play with it, move that around. It's primarily Cabernet Sauvignon in a big way. There was a story behind this. We make a wine, of course, Elevation 1147, that is 100% Cabernet. It goes into new French oak every year, and that's its program. And it's from my favorite spot in the vineyard.
Yeah.
That did not say Cabernet Sauvignon on it. Just says Elevation 1147, right. But it's 100% Cabernet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I had a wine that says Cabernet on it, but it actually could be Cabernet and maybe the addition of something else. And it was Niall that came to my office one day, and he said, do you realize the confusion we're putting on the marketplace? I said, what are you talking about? Of course, I always want to go to, there's no confusion. He says, no. He says, do you know what, are you seeing the confusion out there? I said, what do you mean? He says, we have Elevation that's 100% Cab, but doesn't say Cab on it. Then we have Cabernet Sauvignon that can have Cabernet, well, that has Cabernet, but that also might have Cab Franc or Merlot in it. And I went, oh my God, yeah, there is. One does not say Cabernet, but in fact it's 100%. I said, are we still making that Cabernet from our little 3-acre vineyard?
Yeah.
He says, yeah, we are. I said, then let's put that on the label. So now, this says right down here in the bottom.
Yes, it does.
3-acre.
You guys, the nose in this wine, it's just about every floral and fruital. I mean, it's everything.
Thank you.
It's like a symphony.
Yeah.
This is a voodoo wine. This is starting to mess my head up, because this transcendence is happening from what we discussed, which is a fermented great beverage, to a complete conversation.
It's something that, you know, I mean, I want people to enjoy this in you know, whatever, however it fits into their lifestyle. You know, whether you're having this and, you know, you're out to dinner and it happens to be that I hope it pairs well with the food.
Yeah.
If you're just having a glass of wine at home, I want it to be an enjoyable glass. It should be good on its own.
Absolutely.
Shouldn't have to be paired with food to be good. Hope it's still good.
Thank you for that.
One of the things that I have learned, one more thing, add this to the stack of things. If you are, someone pointed this out, I have no original information, this is all stuff I've knocked off in my life.
Yeah, but nobody does. Maybe. Nobody reinvented. We all think we do, but it's all been done.
Maybe, okay, so maybe I'm in that group. Someone said to me, have you ever noticed how you have a bottle of wine, you open a bottle of wine, have you and your spouse, your significant other, are having a glass of wine, and if you know you're in love with each other and it's great, the wine tastes pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
That same wine, if you come home and she's upset about something, you're upset about something, either one of you is upset or you're ticked off about something that's happened, you're just generally in a bad mood, that wine is not near as good. it's not near as good. It doesn't have that same flavor profile. And so because of that, I've always said, if you're in a fight, drink someone else's wine.
That's awesome.
Wait a while. Wait till things calm down.
Wisdom number two. Wisdom number one is, this is reflection of you in that moment in time. Not just you exclusively, but you interacting with other people. Somebody you love, somebody you care for, somebody you respect. This wine, I mean, forget taste, that kind of points. It sounds so trite and silly. It's not a matter of perfection. It is a perfection. It's not definable, but that conversation with you and this wine that, you know, frames it so beautifully, it's a culmination of so many emotions and so many steps that you've taken, that the idea of having a glass of wine teach you about yourself. It's a powerful medium.
I've always thought that it was. I've always thought, and you think about, in this case, this is a 2015, it's not real old, but, you know, what were you doing 4 years ago on April 20th or the 20th today, 21st? You know, what were you doing 4 years ago? I look back to times like that, and I can't help but, and it's stuff that I love, is how wine can take you back to that day. To that day, to that time. You know, and hopefully it's a happy time. Hopefully, you know, I'm not talking to someone that was, you know, their father died that year, but you still go back and go, oh yeah, you know what? That summer, you know, it would have been about harvest time that year. You know, my family, we were up boating, or we were on the lake, or oh my God, you know what? We cooked the best meal ever, and we had this, and we opened a bottle of wine then, or we had your wine. It just is.
It's such a faithful companion in a way. All you have to do is just let it come to your table.
Yeah. Just enjoy people. You know, the best wines are had with good friends. You know, I always say, we make wines every day. The best times are when we drink them together.
On that powerful note, I really hate to have this conversation come to a close, but I hope that it's just the beginning. You guys can write to me and write to David Arthur Vineyards. There's your
My email address is really simple. I always say it's really complicated. David@davidarthur.com.
Oh my God. I'm not responsible for the onslaught of email that I'm sure is coming, but just share your thoughts. Ask for another show, because I know I would really like one. There's so much more to discuss. I've so enjoyed getting to know you. And
thank you, me too.
With gratitude.
Good talking with you, London.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to the official podcast of Palate Exposure featuring Ilona Thompson. We'll see you again next week.